Listen, the church has a going problem. And I don't mean going to church. I mean going to the community, going to the lost.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. Today's message is part three of a message entitled, A Mission of Compassion. Matthew 28:19 tells us that the church has been commissioned by Jesus to complete the calling of the Great Commission, and this is our mission. Our prayer for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
Jesus saw the need, and he was moved with compassion. And there's the Greek word for it. It's a very long one. And I'm not trying to be gross. This is just straight out of the lexicon. Yeah? To be moved as to one's bowels. See, that may sound disgusting to you and I, but there was an ancient belief that compassion and pity came from the deep inside of man. And so when you were moved with compassion, you were moved to the bowels. It was a deep feel that it would hit you in the gut. Have you ever been hit in the gut? See, we need to be compassionate for human beings. Did Jesus have compassion on the sick? Sure he did. He ministered to the sick, but the major need was their spiritual need. I'm going to do an illustration here. And I'm going to give you a disclaimer up front. These fish that I'm going to use are feeder goldfish. And when I'm done with this message, they're going to go home and live in my goldfish pond. So that's the disclaimer. These fish cost 25 cents per fish. 25 cents per fish. That's a pretty insignificant amount these days. 25 cents per fish. $3 for a dozen. And in the grand scheme of things, they are insignificant. I mean, they're called feeder goldfish for a reason. Generally, you don't keep these as pets. You use them as food for other fish, food for turtles. Fish are relatively insignificant, but human beings aren't. And so here's the illustration. Just take them out here. Now, some of you, I can already hear some of you moaning. Would it be nice if we moaned the same way for lost people? Wouldn't it be great that our hearts would be moved like that for lost people? See, though, we care more about fish. I wonder how long they can stay out of the water, or you know, without dying. You see, there's some of you that, man, you could get really frustrated right now. But I'm gonna be nice. I was gonna take them all out and dump them, but I'm not going to do that. We have more compassion sometimes for fish than we do people. Listen, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out this is going to be true. The true value in heaven is not going to be the streets of gold. It's not going to be the gates of pearl. And it's not going to be the sea of glass. It's going to be the souls of men. It's going to be the souls of men and women that are the most valuable product in heaven. They mean the most to God. And so that's why we have this mission. Church, hear me. Religion, spirit-filled religion, Pentecostal religion can be the most deceptive religion there is. And it keeps us sometimes from fulfilling our mission. Here's what I'm trying to say. Matthew 9:37-38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are what? Few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. They're few. We're equipped to complete the mission, but why is there few? The people willing to reach out to lost people compassionately are few. Listen, the church has a going problem. And I don't mean going to church. I mean going to the community, going to the lost. The church goes to worship, it goes to fellowship, it goes to hearing the Word of God, it goes to participate in singing, it goes to experience the presence of God. Nothing wrong with those things, but we can't forget the mission. The mission is to go to the community. Outside of these doors is the full fulfillment of our mission, not inside of these doors. Going to people who are weary, who are helpless, who are scattered like sheep without a shepherd, that's our mission. I really and truly, honestly believe most church fights, most church arguments happen because God allows it to happen to frustrate, to get people out. Because what happens is this. When you just get the same people shit coming week after week, you start to nitpick. We can start to pull things apart because it's not our mission just to come and sit in a pew and listen to me spout for a half hour, 45 minutes. My job is supposed to be equip you so that you go out and do the works of the ministry. And listen, you know this, when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you get frustrated. Some of you have lived years of frustration because you've not completed the mission. And I want to encourage you, the mission still exists. I don't care how old you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done, what you've not done. If you've got breath in your body, you have a mission to complete. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. When does it become hypocritical for a people who know the grace of God but fail to go to the lost? When is it hypocritical? Pastor, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. Yes, you are a human being. And you have a heart. And you should have compassion. And you should know how to communicate love. But we choose not to communicate pretending it's not our responsibility. And it is. Pastor, that's what we hired you for. No, you hired me to equip you. Pastor, I don't know what to say to those people. I want to equip you now. I want to give you a couple things, a couple thoughts to equip you. How you can fulfill your mission. And these are very simple. These are not complicated. I'll give you two simple examples how you can begin to compassionately reach people this week. John 1:45-46. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, what? Come and see. Come and see. 80% of first-time visitors to a church are there by personal invitation. Personal invitation. Invite them. Come and see. Come and see. There's invitations here. Simply have our church information on it. Invite someone to church this week. Invite them. "Well, I don't know what to wear." Don't worry about it. Just come and see. Just come and see. "Well, I don't know about the music." Don't worry about it. Just come and see. "I heard your preacher is crazy." He is, but just come and see. Whatever the excuse is, just say, "Come and see. I'll be with you. Come and see. Come sit with me. I'll be with you. Just come and see." That's, if you can't see, come and see, there's something wrong with you. Hand someone one of those invites. Say, "Hey, I'd like for you to come to church with me. Come and see." Number two is this one. Very simple. We see it summarized here. Return, and this is in Luke chapter 8, verse 39. "Return to your own house and tell. Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him." Listen, if you are saved, if you are born again, you can go and tell. You can go and tell how Jesus came into your life. You can go and tell. No one's going to argue with you how Jesus changed your life. How can they? It's your story. It's your experience. Share your message, how God changed your life, how Jesus stepped into your life, and he changed you. The ears are open because it's your story. Everybody in here who has received Jesus has a testimony, and you can go and tell. You can go and tell. See, this is the, I only want to say this for a reason. Everybody wants to come to church and testify. No, you testify out there. Go and tell. We're saved. We get it. We've been there. Go and tell. Go and tell. See, we want to do all our ministry still in church. You know why? Because we're just as religious as anyone. I don't care how Pentecostal you are, we get stinking religious. The fulfillment of the mission is outside those doors. Go and tell. Come and see. I've had the privilege of experiencing different types of revival as a church staff member. I've also been able to visit revival. See people repenting, hundreds at a time repenting of their sins, running to the altar, God changing the lives. I mean, changing prostitutes, drug addicts, setting them free, putting them into ministry, people in the ministry today because of a move of God. That's powerful, isn't it? Here's what we do, though. We have things like that happen, and all we want to do is go to church. It's wrong. And I'm going to show you why it's wrong. It's absolutely scripturally wrong. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. If you remember the previous verses, they were there praying. They were having prayer meeting. They were having church. And they were waiting for the promise. They were waiting for the Spirit of God. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house to where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we go, woo! Man, we have wind, and we got fire, we have manifestations, we have all the, man, God, we need another Pentecost. And that's what we base it off of. But that's not Pentecost. Pentecost is what happens afterwards. Right now, you just have a great church service with manifestations, with the gifts of, you know, you have the Spirit of God moving. But that's not Pentecost. See, you're filled with the Holy Spirit for this purpose, to finish the mission, to go. See, we get all, this goes against our Pentecostal grain. It's because of this reason, because they're not going. We can have some knockdown, drag-out services, but we aren't going. See, Pentecost is not realized in here. It's out there. Because if you know the rest of the story, the thousands did not get saved in the upper room. They got saved outside, and they went right to the heart of religion, in the temple courts, because religious people need Jesus. Pentecostals, we do this. We want an upper room experience all the time, 24/7. That's Pentecost. Pentecost is when God takes a fisherman, not a trained speaker, takes a fisherman and fills him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that fisherman goes into a public square and begins to preach Jesus, where there are trained men of religion, Levites, Pharisees, teachers of the law, all kinds of, and he begins to proclaim the gospel in a public square. He's not a trained speaker. He's a fisherman. He's a laborer. He's a worker. He's standing in the midst of these religious leaders, and he begins to preach Jesus in thousands. That's Pentecost, church. See, if you speak in tongues, that's great, because we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's evidence, physical evidence, by speaking in other tongues. But listen, I'm telling you this. If you speak in tongues and you haven't led someone to Jesus, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with your Pentecost then. The realization of Pentecost is to go, empowered to go. They had an upper room experience. They had church, but the Spirit of God compelled them to go. Pentecost is more than experience. This is a good time for us as a church to reevaluate our situation. Are we going to concentrate on just having good services? I can tell you this, our church grows at a rate, it's a healthy rate. And if you get everybody there, it's even better. But I don't want to grow at this rate because it's not right. It's not good. 10 or 12%, that's, no, some people love that, not me. It's not good enough. There are lost people. I said this last week. Listen, a lot of times a small church is a small church because there's a reason for it's a small church. Something's happened or something's not happening. See, oh, we're just hanging on. We're hanging on to Pentecostal power. We're hanging on, but you're not saving anyone. You're not going out to the lost. You're not reaching the lost.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. On Friday, April the 27th at 7:30 p.m., we are having an outdoor movie night at Holt Assembly of God. This is a free event, perfect for the family, to watch a movie in a family-friendly environment. There'll be plenty of free popcorn and soda, so please come bring your own lawn chair or blanket for seating. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.